Hello, and welcome back to my channel. This is part three of the hunt for the beast and his elusive mark. Today, we're going to be covering Daniel chapter 8 and the vision that is contained in that chapter. So let's just get right to it. In the first verse, it says, "In the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first." Now, it's been 3 years since he's had a vision, but it covers the same period. But you'll see some interesting changes here. It says, "And I saw a vision, and it came to pass, when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last." So remember the bear of Daniel 7, that was Medo-Persia, raised up on one side. The Persians became stronger than the Medes and took over the empire. The ram is also Medo-Persia. "I saw the ram push westward and northward and southward." And so here's the representation of the three ribs which the bear had in his mouth. And so it says that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. You know, Babylon was not included in this particular vision because it had already fallen off the scene. Medo-Persia had destroyed Babylon. "And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground." So this he-goat was moving really fast. "And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And it came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler." So do you know what choler is? Choler is fierce anger. Now this ram with the one horn represents the Greeks, and that one horn was Alexander. Isn't that interesting? And the Greeks had a long history of struggling back and forth with the Persians. And so here was a war where the Greeks pulled out all the stops. They really went after Persia and they annihilated them. Anyway, this is against him, speaking of the ram going against, or the goat going against the ram. Says, "against him and smote the ram and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken." And so you look back in history and you see that at the height of his power, Alexander died. And it said that he was in a drunken stupor. And I guess he did what so many do when they drink themselves to death. They lay there and their stomach decides to empty its content out because it doesn't like what it's having to deal with. And the person is so obtunded that they drowned in their own gastric juices. So it was said of Alexander that he could conquer anyone but himself. And so in your early 30s, when you die in that condition, you know, you think of a lot of rock stars that have died in a similar situation. Mistreating your bodies, doing things to yourself that your body was not designed to handle. Well, anyway, moving on. And for it came up four notable ones. Remember the four generals? Towards the four winds, it says, these four generals, Lysimachus, Seleucus, Ptolemy, and Cassander. Now, we had already spoken of these men before, so I won't get too much into it. The goat and the ram are sanctuary animals. Did you ever think about that? This particular chapter is going to be pointing out a few spiritual sides of these individuals. You have the ram and the goat. How many times are rams and goats mentioned in the book of Leviticus? That might be an interesting study for you. It says, the first vision were a chronology of future events. In chapter 7, some detail was given to the characteristics of these kingdoms in their military exploits. And like I mentioned a minute ago, this chapter 8 covers the spiritual dimension. And out of one of them came forth a little horn. So out of one of these generals and the territory that he had taken over, there was this little horn which waxed exceeding great towards the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land. What's a pleasant land? Well, Jerusalem. Did Rome occupy the pleasant land? Remember the story of Jesus? Who was it that crucified him? And it waxed, this verse 10, and it waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. So did Rome do anything to any of the stars? James was killed. I think there were a few others that was killed by Rome. Peter was killed eventually by Rome. Paul was killed by Rome. So here we have this beast, and he's killing God's apostles, God's people. The devil was busy. He was trying to wipe out this young fledgling church that was about to get started, and it was giving him a great deal of trouble. Yea, he magnified himself, even to, now to, T-O, in this sense, you can look it up and see the meaning. It means against, even to, against. It claims to be God. One of his official titles is Lord God the Pope. Even to the prince of the hosts. And by him the daily was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Now, I don't know. Yeah, we should cover this now. The temple in Jerusalem was utterly destroyed in 70 AD by the Roman general Titus. In the battle, the temple was set on fire, which melted the gold that was inside. When the fire cooled, the stones that made up the temple were toppled to get to the gold that had run into the cracks in the floor. This being pagan Rome. But Rome turns into something else, papal Rome, which does more evil than all the other kingdoms combined. And just to show the consistency of the Bible regarding these stones being knocked over because the Roman soldiers were wanting to get at the gold. Remember in Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus told his disciples regarding the temple, he said that one stone would not be left upon another. Well, what do you think was the motivation behind knocking them stones over? Them Roman soldiers wanted to get to that gold. So there you have it. The Bible is consistent. Now back to Daniel 8, verse 12. And an host was given him against the daily by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. And so, how does it cast down the truth to the ground? How does it cast down the truth to the ground? Well, here's a quote out of their own official writings. Question, what if the Holy Scriptures command one thing and the Pope another contrary to it? Answer, the Holy Scriptures must be thrown aside. And this is a quote from a Jesuit catechism. Okay, back to chapter 8:13. It says, then I heard one of the saints, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Now, the book of Jeremiah reveals the transgression that had caused the desolation of Jerusalem. It was their repeated disregard for the Sabbath, and that mingled with idolatry. It goes on in verse 14, it says, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Well, 2,300 days, if you take that prophetically and use the numbers 14:34 and the different verses that we have that give us the year for a day. Now, the timing of this 2,300-day prophecy, it goes from 457 B.C., and that's when the commandment went forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, and you can read about that in Ezra and Nehemiah. And it goes all the way up until 1844. Well, there's some rather peculiar things that took place in 1844. There was a worldwide revival, and there was a strong belief that Christ was going to come in 1844, and it was based on this prophecy. But what the prophecy says, it says that the sanctuary would be cleansed. And people had, they had not studied the sanctuary, the literal sanctuary that was here on earth. I should say, not a matter of literal. But, and so they didn't know anything about its services. Oh, that was Jewish, you know, and they wanted nothing to do with it. But, God gave the instructions. He gave every point of design and purpose for that sanctuary to Moses, and he was to build it according to those specifications. And I can't go into it right now, but there is so much spiritual meaning behind the sanctuary service and what it represented and everything. So you'll be hearing references from time to time regarding elements of that that sanctuary, and try to pay attention to the symbolism that's involved there. And it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then, behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O Son of Man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. So here we're bringing this down to the time of the end. Is this the time of the end? It better be. too many of the signs are present with us today. And we'll see more of these as we go along. Verse 18. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face towards the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, Behold, I will make thee to know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the appointed time the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. See, another example. The Bible explains itself. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now, in this regard, the first king is not really the very first king that Grecia ever had, but the preeminent king, like we would use the term first lady, okay? And if you recall anything from history, I don't know what kind of history you had in school, but Greece was divided up into city-states, and each particular city was associated with an area of land, and they had their own king, sort of. I don't know, it seems like they were more like warlords, but anyway. Now, that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. Once again, referring to the four generals. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Wonder who that might be. Okay, able to understand these mysterious dark sentences, and upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, Revelation 17:5. So this is tying the fourth beast to a few chapters in Revelation that are of great importance for this time. Verse 24 in Daniel 8 says, And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And remember, we talked about the papal Rome, how they would use the power of the governments that she controlled to do her bidding and fight her wars, etc. You know, you think of the Crusades, you think of Charlemagne, when Charlemagne was stomping around Europe and trying to make everybody behave. Then there was Charles V and so on and so forth. And he shall destroy wonderfully and prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and holy people, the remnant or the residue. Okay, let's see. Remnant. Who's the remnant? There's always a remnant. God always has a remnant. Remember when he told Elijah, I have reserved unto me 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. So they may be scattered, they may be few, but God always has his people. Verse 25, And through his policy he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Now remember the stone cut out without hand in Daniel 2? So God's going to deal with this haughty entity that persecutes his people. And make no mistake about that. They are getting away with nothing. Bodily noises time. Verse 26, And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Therefore, shut thou up the vision, for it is for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. So there you have it. There's Daniel's second vision. And this was very troubling to him, especially when he saw visions of what this fourth power would do to God's people. And you will see that reflected throughout this study. Okay, well, that's all for now. Get your Bibles out and go over this material, study it carefully, and may God bless you as you read His Word.